Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM, but we're now streaming just about anywhere that you could want to find radio online. We, of course, are on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can also listen now on TuneIn Radio as well as iHeartRadio. So if those are your preferred destinations, we're streaming live there as well. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Fun afternoon. This is my Friday. I'm heading out of town. I will be heading to San Diego. Kevin Cerrito is going to fill in for the next few days. He's going to do an awesome job. In fact, he'll probably do a better job than I do. But because of that, since it's the last day of school...
Don't sell yourself short.
I wanted to bring... I'm a pretty short guy. I wanted to bring back, of course, the former co-host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, the former lead sports columnist of the Commercial Appeal, a former top 10 sports columnist nationally, and a top three sports columnist in the state of Tennessee. Barely. He now writes about all manner of things for the USA Today Sports Network, including Happy Gilmore 2. Follow him on Twitter on X at MGiannotto. Mark, good day, sir.
You also forgot. Now I feel like I'm occasional writer, but more of like a stay at home dad at times. Sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, family first.
Gardener. No, I'm just.
You got a green thumb?
No. Well, the wife is forced. The wife got a green thumb.
Ooh,
so someone's got to maintain. But someone got maintaining her green thumb, if you will.
Let's just say you're now you're up to date on all the latest watering procedures.
I can water, I can plant stuff, I can weed, I can do lots of things. So we've got some nice peppers and tomatoes growing in the garden, Jeffrey. Maybe I'll send you some.
So I was doing some weed eating on Sunday, and we have my father-in-law got me one of the Ego, you know, the electric weed eaters. But the best feature of it is that you don't really have to wind the wire. You just like put it in and there's a button that just kind of winds it for you.
Oh, that's nice.
The problem though is when you're trying to reline it and it's trying to cut it at the beginning to like get it to the right depth, it gets pretty long. And I mean, I just absolutely drilled my shin. Like I have, I literally look like something attacked me.
I'm terrified of cutting myself. I feel like I never do as good a job as possible because of the fear of like to really go all in here. I gotta like maybe risk like a flesh wound, if you will.
You know, like whenever they do what are the everyday activities that you would be an Olympic? Why do we never talk about the people that can actually like wind the wire for weed eaters? Like that is an unbelievable skill.
Edging. I'm terrible at edging. You know, like actually being really good at edging is like, you know, like if you get a crew or whatever that's like real good. You know, like, you know, like ultimately, if I'm paying for your services, I expect you to be pretty good at etching. But I'm talking like your regular person,
yeah,
your regular people, not the expert.
I've found, though, that is anyone really good at edging with the Weed Eater? Everyone that I see that's good with edging has that, like, that push edger that's like cheating, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta have the
equipment. You gotta earn those lines.
Well, you know what? You know what I miss on TV on dog days like this? Why doesn't ESPN show the outdoor games anymore? That was always a lot of fun watching those guys chop wood and climb up and whatever. Like, I always love that.
I mean, this might be where you're a cord cutter. ESPN News is now literally just the Ocho. The only two things that are on ESPN News now are Ocho programming and then the game that you want to watch, but there's another game in front of it, you have to wait.
Pattern.
Yeah,
it's a holding pattern channel.
Correct. That's the only things that are on ESPN News.
It's super. It's like as hot as it gets here in the Chicago area. So
what are you? What are y'all? What are they calling it? Like corn sweat? What are they calling it?
I don't know. They called it a heat. There's a heat dome over Chicago yesterday and today. But like heat here is like, you know, like people like. It's just, you know, having been in Memphis for 7 years, this is my, you know, I guess second summer since moving. Like, you know, it's like low 90s and people are really upset. And I'm just like, like it's hot, but it's not like hot, you know, like it's not like Memphis hot, you know, that when it's just like sweltering and you feel like you're gonna,
talk dirty to me. We're right there. We're like 104 and everybody else is so miserable and I'm just like strutting around. I'm so happy. Like, do you realize I'm about to head to San Diego where it's going to be like 70, the high is like 75, and I'm packing a jacket.
Yeah, yeah. San Diego's, you know, it's beautiful out there. That's the perfect weather. It never gets too hot.
City in California by far.
But yeah, it's good to be back. I'm glad you invited me back on. It's been an interesting time in Memphis sports the last couple months, and just watching it from afar, it's so, you know, it is so different when you're watching it from afar. Like, I feel like I have a different perspective than I would, and I'm not sure if it's a better perspective or a worse perspective, but it's definitely different just experiencing it, watching it from whatever it is, 1,000 miles away, however far Chicago is from Memphis, and when you're like really in the thick of it.
So I think it's a good perspective to have. Like, I found this when you're in the thick of it, you're surrounded by all the emotions of it. Even if you yourself are emotionally detached, you tend to get the hyper extreme opinion one way or the other. And like, I find that when, like, I found this when I, even though I just went, whatever, 60 miles away from Oxford to Memphis, I had a very different perspective. Like, when I would go and do my old boss's show, because like, you're just not in the day to day of it. I actually think it offers kind of a clairvoyance, and that's kind of what I wanted to bring you on. So when you see the news last week, because I know we talked about it a little bit, but you see the news that Memphis makes the play to get into the Big 12, and they involve AutoZone, they involve FedEx, obviously, and then they got Lowe's involved to make what is reportedly a $200 million corporate offer while also foregoing television rights through the end of this TV deal, which I think runs through 2030-2031, and it gets rejected. So what's kind of your overall perspective of everything that happened?
Yeah. So first of all, I was impressed. Like, I certainly don't feel like a year ago or a year and a half ago when I was in Memphis, I didn't feel like the university and its supporters had the, for lack of a better term, wherewithal, the ability to do put together an offer like that. So the fact that over the past year and a half, they've found the resources to offer that to the Big 12, I think, you know, was impressive. Like, it caught me by surprise. Like, I didn't think the university was capable of that.
I mean, honestly, I said this because Cerrito made this point. I'm not sure, man. Like, if the Grizzlies had to put together like a $200 million marketing package, like, I don't even know if they could. Like, I told Munns that part of the whole headline and the rejection and of course all the takes that everybody's firing off, I thought that was wildly impressive, but it just kind of goes for naught. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, you know, and like ultimately, like, I think Memphis is a good fit in the Big 12. I think if they went to the Big 12, they'd probably have similar struggles to what Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati are having in football initially. I think that's just, you have to be real.
I think it's so, like, if they are really are going to forego, I know that part of their plan was included of they were going to be a full rev share participant, but man, competing with a roster when you're not taking any TV money, that to me screams.
Yeah, like, it would be hard at first in football for them to compete. It just would. I think they could be I don't think they'd come in like Houston in basketball and win the league. I think they'd be competing for NCAA tournament spots in men's basketball as soon as they entered the Big 12, would be my guess.
They feel West Virginia-y and Cincinnati-y.
Well, it's the type of league where the reality is, and why it's worth so much money to the university, in part, is it's the type of league where, like, you can lose 12 games and still make the NCAA tournament. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the situation you have right now. And so, and I think geographically it makes sense. I think, and this goes to what I've said for a long time, you know, just in terms of spiritually, they fit in the Big 12. And like right now, one of the biggest problems I have with the AAC for Memphis, or I keep calling it the AAC. It's going to be hard for me to lick because I think you agree with me. Some people called it the American, but
it's the same. It's the same thing to me. Of like, it's always going to be Heinz Field. Like, that's not accurate. Sure, are you kidding me? Like, maybe that's boom of me. You know.
Well, at least some people actually called it the American instead of the AAC. Like, I feel like not as many people called it the AAC, but I just did for whatever reason over the years. But nonetheless, like, one of the problems with the current AAC is, like, none of the schools, very few of the schools aspire to be what Memphis aspires to be. Really the best matches for Memphis in the AAC left in the last go-round. Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF all spiritually aligned with Memphis in the sense that, yeah, maybe they couldn't compete with the top dogs in football and even basketball, but, like, you know what? They were going to damn sure try to, you know? Like, and there's just not that many. There's who in the current AAC aspires like that? I guess Tulane.
I don't even know. Does Tulane? I think it's fair to say Tulane in football does. But I'm not as
in the last 5 years, Tulane has made clear in football, you're right, that they.
But I don't get the sense
level. They
do in basketball, do you?
Not so far. I mean, you know, like they're, you know, I mean, the Ron Hunter hire was not a bad hire. I mean, it hasn't worked out as perfect, you know, swimmingly, because he hasn't yet gotten them to the tournament, or even, you know, it doesn't feel like they've ever really competed for a league title, but at least he keeps them sort of relevant in the league, it feels like.
Feels like he's also really good at beating Memphis. Now, I don't know how that's going to extend. Like, it did feel like their existence was to be the thorn in Memphis's side on the road and I guess there was a couple of home games. Like, that felt like their existence.
And then, so, like, to turn down free money, I thought, you know, like, I guess it doesn't make sense. But I would say this would be my, you know, the view I have looking from afar, I guess, and I'm sure someone said this, like the reality is, if you're the Big 12, is that you don't have to say yes now. If you decided a year from now you wanted to take Memphis, that offer is still going to be there probably. If you decide 2-3 years from now, like, they were in no, like, they didn't have to say yes right now. Even though they said no to Memphis now, like, you really think a year from now, if Brett Yormark calls up University of Memphis and says, you know what, you know, we rethought it, we want to put this to a vote now, Memphis would say, like, oh, no, you guys turned your noses to us one too many times. This offer's off the table. Like, I just don't think, I think, you know, like, ultimately, whatever bat heart, you know, whatever feelings there are right now, again, with getting turned down, like, I think everyone at Memphis knows the Big 12 would be the best case scenario. And so, you know, they don't have a lot of leverage, so to speak, and the Big 12 has all the leverage. And so I kind of looked at it like that. Like, it was a rejection partly because, like, they can say yes whenever they want, ultimately. I just don't think, you know, I don't know if I'd take it as a no forever, because maybe 3 years from now, the Big 12 is in a more uncertain financial situation. Like, who knows what it's going to look like a few years from now. But at the same time, it's like kind of it's a tough spot for Memphis, because ultimately they've said no. You don't know if they'll ever say yes, but you know what, if they say maybe in a couple years, you're probably going to jump at the chance again and maybe set yourself up for heartbreak again. Like, it's just a difficult situation, and I get, you know, if you're Memphis, I think you have to move on thinking they're never going to say yes. But the reality is, like, they could in a few years. Who knows? Like, you just don't know. And so it's a tricky situation. But I kind of look at it like that. Like, ultimately, the Big 12 didn't have – like, yes, it does look kind of silly that they turned down this free money and this reported proposal of, like, essentially, if this doesn't work over the next 5 years, you can boot us for with no penalties, boot Memphis from the league. It doesn't – when you take all that in, you go, what is the risk here to say yes if you're the Big 12? And the counter would be, like, I think they can say yes whenever they want, ultimately. They're in the total position of power when it comes to Memphis.
No,
unfortunately.
I think all that's fair. I do think, obviously, Memphis was trying to jump the line because, you know, then you see late last week, which did not feel like a coincidence, that right after North Carolina finishes speaking at the ACC Media Days, North Carolina leaks to Sports Business Journal, hey, you know, we're actively looking to get out and we're looking to go to the SEC. And my suspicion on that is they're trying to jump the line and getting into the SEC. So clearly there's going to be more movement. I think the problem, though, if you're Memphis, you're trying to thread this line where you're right, the Big 12 doesn't necessarily have to make the move now. Now, I did also find it ironic that the Big 12 schools are some of the loudest about we've got to figure out ways to get more money. And I just don't know how realistic it was to get $200 million of marketing money from, by the way, clean money. Like, in the end, it's
private equity. You're not having to go to the Middle East.
Correct. Yeah, like, exactly, you're not, like, and these aren't company. These are reputable companies and companies that advertise in sports. And like that to me was a little part of it. But I actually think what's going to be the hardest part for Memphis moving forward is I don't know if it was like the 2019 Big 12 speculation or if it was the 2023 speculation in which you wrote the column, hey, you know, this is the worst case scenario is Memphis is always going to find itself in the best of the rest. What I think has complicated things now is I think you kind of have to speculate on, okay,
what's the best of the rest.
Right, because like to me, I agree with everything you said about the American in terms of teams that are organizationally like-minded of, you know, trying to compete in sports. And the American is in this weird spot where financially it's going to offer them the best scenario. Like in the end
for the next
correct
6 years, I think, because I think whenever this current TV deal runs out, they will not get the benefit of that. Like the AAC, the American will lose that status as like the highest paid best of the rest conference.
I agree with you on that based on what they have. The problem is, okay, now you try to figure out where's the best spot to go next or, you know, how do you start to align yourself?
And it's tough because it's, you know, is it staying in the American? Is it figuring out a way to do this Pac-12 Big East split if you can convince the Big East and Pac-12? It sounds like convincing the Pac-12 will be easier, convincing the Big East will be harder. And then there's now this third route that we've speculated about before that now, you know, is maybe starting to crystallize a little more in terms of potential ACC chaos with if North Carolina, Clemson, Florida State, whoever, if the top half of that league, so to speak, breaks off. And is it better to be with the best of the rest of that as opposed to the best of the rest of the, you know, what's the better league, the best of the rest of ACC or a league, you know, being in the Pac-12 but doing Big East for basketball? Like you don't know for sure if there's going to be a best of the rest ACC conference. Like, you don't know what the fallout's going to be if and when the ACC as we know it disintegrates a little bit or where you these schools depart. There's a lot of money on the line, and it involves, you know, these administrators and these top boosters really playing their cards right. And I do, you know, like they played one big card the other day when they, you know, whatever it's been over the last few months, I'm assuming that all played out.
We learned about it last Monday. But to your point, I don't think that that offer was all. I don't think they just snapped together a PowerPoint on a Sunday and made the offer.
Yeah, and so they played one card there, and there's some other cards to play. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Memphis doesn't have great options, but it does seem to have a couple, and it has a couple options, even though neither of them feel like they're the one that Memphis ultimately wants, which is the Big 12.
Yeah, and I think also what complicates it is, okay, and I think part of why maybe Memphis was trying to quote-unquote jump the line, I'm sure part of the fear is, okay, I think it seems likely at this point the ACC is going to have some movement by 2030. I think the reason why Memphis is trying to jump the line, I'm not sure all these ACC teams are going to have homes, and if indeed that's the case,
the reality is, like, for instance, if Duke does not jump,
perfect example,
they will be desirable to the Big 12.
Correct.
Even though they're, you know, like they, you know, Duke, they will want that brand.
They have stated that one of their paths to survival is being one of the best basketball leagues. They're not gonna pass. Maybe the Big Ten and the SEC pass on Duke. I can easily see where that's the case, but I do not see the Big 12 passing on Duke. And then you wind up in this weird spot where, Mark, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like a lot of these ACC schools are going to have like a come to Jesus meeting of like, how serious are we in this landscape? Because, man, a lot of these ACC schools, particularly the small private ones, like, man, they're just like, even though maybe they could fund it, they're just not all that interested in it. And so what are the leftovers of that? Because, like, I think Louisville would make sense for that Big 12. And then you can start to see where the Big 12 could maybe their path to survival in this universe is, hey, we can never catch the Big 10 and the SEC, but we'll have the best of the rest. And then the question is, can Memphis navigate its way into that? And I don't know, man. I think that's a tough ask.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be real. We've seen nothing in previous incarnations of conference realignment to give you, like, honestly, real hope that that's going to happen. To be quite honest, like every sign thus far has been, you know, they are going to exclude Memphis. That's what history suggests.
Especially if it's the Big 12.
Yes, but at the same time, you know, I don't know how many, to your point at the beginning of all this, like, I don't know how many schools can just come together with $200 million like that. And so if they can continue to have that sort of enthusiasm from the donor base, from the corporate community in Memphis, it gives them a fighting chance at least.
All right. So look, I kind of want to switch gears with you. I want to get to the Grizzlies offseason. But okay, are you buying this? I think the best thing that's happened to Ja this offseason is this global hugs and kisses tour in China. Because he is like, you just see him, like, he is just smiling. Like, it literally looks like the guy that we saw in 2019. Like, he's so happy. It probably also helps that most of the social media that brings him down is probably banned over there.
Well, I also took note, he was happy that he won NBA.com's Dunk of the Year, that dunk against Boston, which I think was a worthy winner. The, like, 360, the reverse flush, the double pump reverse flush. That was awesome. No, I mean, I the videos have been great. I mean, and ultimately, it's also a major deal that Nike feel like, that's a big deal.
It does feel like they're relaunching him.
And they don't take just anyone to China. Like, it's, you know, Kobe went to China a lot, and James Harden goes there because he's really popular. Like, they take the people who are popular there, and very clearly from the videos and from just the whole thing, like, you can see what, you know, like, he's not normal. He's not a normal NBA player in terms of both how he plays and then also off the court. Like, through it all, like, he's very clearly a very, you know, he's got a very high level of popularity, and if he can put it all together on the court again, when we saw a few years ago, because of how entertaining he is, both as a player and when he wants to as a personality, he was on the cusp of being the face of the league. but he's got to put it together on the court. None of this is going to matter if he can't put it all together on the court in terms of being healthy, playing in a system that matches him, improving his outside shooting, all those things. But no,
can we take everything except the last one? Because I'm just not convinced. Like, if the path to him being elite is outside shooter, I'm just not convinced that's going to happen. But I said this, and I don't.
He can be a 35% 3-point shooter. I'm convinced he can do that at some point.
I think that's probably fair, but I think there's this thought that
he'll ever be a 40% 3-point shooter.
But like, I don't ever think he'll be league average. Like, if league average is 38 or whatever, 37.5.
He just needs to hit enough so that teams can't exaggerate their defenses against the Grizzlies. That's all that really matters. Honestly, it doesn't even matter about a percentage. It's more of a perception, to be quite honest, at this point. Like, it's not even getting to a certain percentage, but obviously getting to a certain percentage will help you change the perception. It's ultimately when, in the most important games, you do not want teams exaggerating their coverages and going, go ahead, Josh, shoot, and he has to go shoot it 14 times in a playoff game, which is what happened against the Lakers a few years ago.
No,
or whatever. I don't think 14 is the right number. It's probably like 11 or 12 in one game. But like, that's all you really want out of it. But regardless, to your original point, hey, you know what? We've seen he can be a moody guy, John Morant. And if this offseason is helping him get some of that joy we saw before he ran into all these issues, great. I mean, ultimately, like, for Memphis, for like the league at large, like, when this guy's playing well and he's on the court, like, it's great for the league. I mean, like, it just is. Like, and I think all anyone wants for him at this point is to, especially in Memphis, is for to see him play a full season, to see him play 70 games and not, you know, like, not get hurt. And to, you know, just be able to fully realize his potential, because when he got close to it a few years ago, it was electric. It was just, it was magic. And so, you know, I miss that. I think the league misses that. I think obviously Memphis misses that. You know, it wasn't, you know, you saw a few sparks last year, but it just felt like, you know, the magic wasn't quite there, even though he was, you know, obviously played more than he did 2 years ago. And frankly, at the beginning of this season, given the injuries to Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson Jr., like, they need him to be healthy and effective and like raring to go from the get go this season. So we'll see. I mean, I do think, you know, when you take a step back, now that I live in Chicago, like, I do think like he is, I don't know if overlooked is the right word, 'cause I think some of the overlooking is justified given his availability issues the last couple of years. But I do think he's a little forgotten in the grand scheme of the league. Like, no one, I don't think, you know, coming off that, what was it, 2021-22 season, most of these outlets had him as like a fringe top 10 player in the league. And now, like, you know, I don't even think some things have him as a top 25 player in the league. And do I think when he's healthy and on his game, there are 24 players in the NBA better than him? No, I don't. But being healthy and on your game are part of that status. And so if this China trip helps him get there, that's great. If it puts him in a good mindset, that's great. But, you know, ultimately, the feeling you're getting in this is short-lived. Like, you know, the season doesn't start till October, but it's good that he's got good off-season vibes. It feels like it's the, you know, certainly it feels like it's been the best off-season I can remember for him in the last few years in terms of just no bad headlines. He's not coming back from injury. And like you said, there's footage of him out there like looking like his old self, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I do think I've told George this and I've said it on the show, but I actually thought the way the season ended, like, the biggest positive I took from it was, yeah, he gets hurt in game three, but there were moments during that series when the Grizzlies just didn't have a lot and he was really all they had offensively. He was still kind of able to take over, and it did remind you of, like, okay, if this is going to be a sport where the playoffs are a completely different sport, he still has it. Now, granted, the way that it ends makes everybody feel sour and whatnot, but overall, like, I that was the biggest positive I took, is like, Ja in the playoffs was actually pretty good. It was forgotten. To your point, it went completely overlooked.
I mean, listen, he played that first half in the game three was unbelievable. He played an unbelievable first half. The team played an unbelievable first half. I would like part of the issue with Ja is like we've seen these high mark moments. It's more about sustainability, and the part, the injury part that was a real shame was like, okay, like could we see him even if they didn't win the series against the Thunder? I was interested to see, okay, we saw this game three performance. Can they take
Oklahoma City
to seven games?
Yeah.
Can they, you know, like can they win another one and take it to six? You know, and he and play it close and Ja's going toe to toe with Shea, you know, like that type of thing. We didn't get to see that. And, you know, so hopefully this is the year where he puts it all together from an availability standpoint, because I think he's capable of going toe to toe with the best in the NBA in a playoff series still. But it's been a long time. Like it just has.
Well, and it's like the to get to that point means it requires a healthy season and then getting healthy into the postseason. And like, that's the biggest question mark. All right. Overall though, what have you made of the offseason? Cause it's obviously a reshaping, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the Desmond Bain trade from this perspective of you needed more flexibility. And I do think there was a certain ceiling having him as the backcourt mate with Ja in a playoff series because neither of them are great defenders, and Ja's, you know, and it just felt like you were going to get exposed, as you know, maybe not in the not necessarily in a first round series all the time, but like it was going to having not the combination of that, the kind of a smaller backcourt plus the fact that you didn't have really much room to add to the roster, it felt like paying all three of Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. over $200 million in contracts apiece. I liked the trade in terms of that flexibility it gave them. And I think KCP will be a useful piece in the short term for them, because I think he fits better in the backcourt with Ja. From a playoff perspective, I don't think he's a better player than Desmond Bane. They'll probably win fewer games this year without Desmond Bane in the regular season. But in a playoff series, I think it's nice, it's a good fit with Ja. And then obviously you have the draft picks, including one next year. If Phoenix is, you know, not good, it could be, the chance to add another kind of pillar, if you will, to the roster. So I liked the trade. Otherwise, you know, like I think they're, you know, it very clearly feels like they're in transition. They're trying to, you know, get back after, you know, like I liked the Desmond Bane move. The problem is I didn't really like, you know, like ultimately like their previous, it felt like their previous three or four moves, the reason they had to do the Bane move is because previous moves just didn't work out. And so you're looking at a roster that feels like at the beginning of the year is going to need Ja Morant to carry a lot of weight for them to kind of stay above water until they get Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey back. That's what it feels like to me. And so I do think, however, if they get those guys back healthy, like if I don't know when either of them come back, you know,
you could talk me into Jaren, maybe not as quite as drastic as what he missed the first two games this year, and then he played something like 51 straight. Mm-hmm. You could talk me into Jaren's back by the second or third week. It feels like with Edey, the best case scenario is the 1st of December. The realistic idea is if you get him back by Christmas, I think that's kind of where I'd target.
Whenever you get him back, if you get him back and they like are similar players to what they were beforehand, I do think the roster is better than the NBA at large is giving it credit for, because I think Ja Morant is, when healthy, is underrated. And right now, again, that's a big caveat, when healthy.
Yeah, I think they got more athletic too. Now, granted, they had a huge hill to climb on that, but I think that's
the case. Like, what is Brandon Clark's status? You know, it feels, you know, and like it feels like there's more moves to be made, whether it's at the deadline. It feels like it's a roster that is in transition in terms of building around Ja and Jaren. And, you know, I don't think to be fair to Zach Kleiman, it doesn't feel like he's putting, you know, expectations of competing for a championship on this roster. It didn't feel like it to me based on his comments, since the off season, started. But I do think, like, my gut tells me they probably end up winning around 50 games still. Like, I bet you they have a similar record to last season, even though they traded Desmond Bane. That would be my gut feeling. Maybe it's in the high 40s, but that would be my gut.
My biggest issue is the – I need to know how long – because, like, does Edie miss 15 games or does he miss 30 games? Like, because that's the other thing. It's not just missing Edie. It's like there's not a lot behind him. You know what I mean? Like, so –
I mean, like, listen, I think Jock Landale, like, that's a guy fans will fall in love with, but he's, like, one of those players, like, if he's playing 10 minutes a game for you, he's great. If he's playing 20 minutes a game for you, it's a problem. You know, like, he's one of those types of players. And then, you know, like, Jalen Wells, like, is he going to take another step? You know, I don't know, personally. Like, you know, like, I think, like, my gut tells me, you know, what you saw as him as a rookie is probably, you know, I'm not saying he won't get a little better, but like that feel like thinking he's going to become more like Desmond Bane, like expand his game like Desmond Bane did. I don't know. That doesn't feel necessarily realistic to me, but I think he's a nice piece.
I know, think like Wells is kind of in the same category. If Wells is like your sixth or seventh guy, I think he's extremely useful. The problem is if, you know, if he's your starting three, I don't know if like that's a playoff caliber starting three. Obviously they're betting on Cedric Coward.
And they're betting on Scottie Pippen Jr.
And like Ty Jerome, I think, was a good signing.
It's funny. Ty, I mean, that's
I think they benefited that everyone kind of got spooked by the Ty performance in the playoffs, but it's like they're not asking him to be that.
Well, they're asking him to be the sixth man, just like he kind of was with Cleveland.
Yeah, but like but in the series where everyone soured on him, he was, you know, starting and playing 40 minutes.
He was playing for Garland. I thought that was a nice addition. Like that's the type of, like, let's be honest, that's the type of piece they've kind of shied away from, it feels like, in recent years. They haven't added that type of free agent piece, you know, like no one's expecting them to go be able to get marquee free agents, but it's like, you know, like once upon a time they signed Kyle Anderson via free agency. Maybe, you know, if Ty Jerome can be as effective as, You know, obviously they're different players, but like, you know, that's the type of player you're hoping for. A guy who can, you know, play multiple spots. Yeah, you know, he's not 6'10 like Kyle Anderson, but like he's a better shooter than Kyle Anderson. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, if you're having to play him 40 minutes in a playoff series, it's a problem. But if you need him to play 40 minutes for five games because Ja tweaked his ankle, like you can make that work in the regular season, you know, and then obviously he can be a 25 to 30 minute a game guy off the bench, depending on how hot he is offensively. I think they had a nice off season, honestly. Like, it's an under the radar. It's kind of a quiet one other than the Bane trade. And obviously that was, you know, the loud part of that is Orlando beefing up and by getting Bane. But like I said, I don't think maybe they took a step back to take two steps forward, but I bet you in the win-loss, like when the final record's all said and done, it's not that big of a step back with this roster. And I think they'll, whenever the over-unders come out, I bet you it's in like the low 40s would be my guess. Like, you know, 40 to 45.
Yeah, I think
wins.
42 and a half is what I started seeing.
I bet you they're in the 45 to 50 range in terms of wins. I bet you they slightly exceed expectations.
All right, before I let you go, we can't have a reunion segment without talking about Luca's body. I wanted to discuss Happy Gilmore with you, Happy Gilmore too, but I think you and I have the same opinion. I have just found that I'm put on this planet to be annoyed. I do not know what people are expecting. Like, it was exactly what I had. Now, granted, I had a very low bar, but it was exactly what I wanted it to be. It delivered. There were plenty of good jokes. I actually, it was too many cameos, right? But I actually thought some of the golfer stuff was funny. So, I enjoyed
Scotty
it.
Scotty was funny. It was good enough. That was what I said. Exactly. Said it was, they were asking me, should I watch? I go, it was good enough.
It was straight good to enough. Streamer. We didn't have to go pay. We didn't spend $50 going to the theater to see it. Like, it was, we watched it on Netflix. Like, I'm right there with you. But we got to talk Luca body.
Okay.
I will say this. My alarm, credit to me, back in the day when we had the Zion look at his body, and I was like, oh, that's Photoshop. Mm-hmm. I don't have the Photoshop alarm, but I am getting the lady doth protest too much. I'm hearing and seeing a little too much of look how good a shape I'm in.
Well, my bigger issue with it is he he's done this before. We've seen, like, there's two other examples from previous off seasons of stories that were written, planted stories, just like this men's fitness one or men's health one.
Don't they pay you for men's health?
I'm sure there was an arrangement of some kind here, you know, and because, you know, finding a writer / outlet that's, you know, whatever. I mean, it, like, makes sense. You do it through here so you can, like, it doesn't look as look at me, because you can go, well, this is for men's health asked us, you know.
Correct.
This is for men's health.
What do you want us to do? Like, they asked to do a feature, and we had to do it.
But we've seen skinny Luka, like, two off seasons before, and he plumped right back up. And he was still a good basketball player, by the way. But, like, let's see once you get to the rigors of the season. Like, let's see once he gets his first injury and decides he's not doing cardio anymore. Like,
well, here's my actual
concern. And gets skinny every offseason.
What my actual concern is, as a Laker hater, it's really tough to get fat in LA. Like, it's a lot easier to get fat in Dallas and Memphis than it is in LA. Like, the quality of food is just not great. Like,
yeah, well, and, like, just people, just the society in general there is more health conscious.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, one of my best friends, like, he referred to it as, oh, there's the other fat guy. When we were walking on campus, it's like, the other fat guy's like, yeah, there's only two of us. He's like, we have, like, a head nod. There's an acknowledgement.
But I also think there's a fine line with Luka, because I think his girth sometimes he uses it well to his advantage, too.
Listen,
like, it's part of his skill set is, you know, like, for lack of a better term, is big butt.
Well, like, I'm also, like, in this day and age where everybody's getting hurt with these weird injuries, like, Jokic and Luka, like, are you telling me them having a little beef is not a bad, is a bad thing?
Well, to be fair, it does seem like Luka gets these strange calves, which feel like they're from, you know, it's from, you know, supporting a little too much weight than they should, type of thing.
Yeah, but, like, no one's going to mistake Jokic for, by the way, how great was that video of him crying when his horse won? Was the, like, that was, I watched that video like 100 times.
It's hilarious, though. It's hilarious when you, if you watch that and then right afterwards,
yes,
watch the Nuggets and championship celebration.
No,
how much happier he is that the horse won.
He plays basketball so that he can go and buy racehorses.
Best. But yeah, no, we'll see with Luka. I mean, I think he's gonna have a great year. Like, honestly, the question is he gonna be like, you know, we've seen this before. Like, remember Kevin Love? Kevin Love was fat, and then he dropped it, and he kept it off. Marc Gasol, at the end of, last half of his career, he lost the weight, and then it seemed like did a pretty good job keeping it off with his garden and everything. I'm trying to think but then there's, like, plenty of examples of guys who lose weight, for a year or two, and then,
yo-yos
back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we'll see. I'm happy for him, though, I guess.
I don't know. Like, in the end, like,
I was always told about Luka is, like, he literally doesn't eat vegetables. He's like your 5-year-old. Like, he doesn't eat. Like,
or Al Michaels.
Yeah, or Al Michaels.
No vegetables.
And so, but he's got a kid now. So he's got a kid, too. So, I don't know. Kid can go either way. Sometimes you're eating their table scraps.
Yeah, and just like you're just trying to survive.
But
yeah,
it's hard for me to compare because, like, being a rich parent.
I just don't understand how you can be fat when you can have a chef. Like, that makes sense.
That's true. So, good luck to Luka. I have a feel. My gut, no pun intended. My gut tells me he'll be back on the list of fat athletes soon enough.
I can't wait. All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, Jeffrey, good talking to you.
That is Mark Giannotto of the USA Today Sports Network. We come back, we've got some Tiger basketball news, including another exhibition game, so we'll discuss that, as well as the aftermath of the Sincere Parker appearance today at court. Jason Munn's got that story. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your last chance to take advantage of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements going on now through Saturday over at our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. That means that this is your last chance to save up to 40% off all diamond jewelry and engagement rings. And also, during the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Rings, you can buy gifts that give gifts. With every purchase of $999 or more, get a pair of free diamond stud earrings. Also, with every purchase of $24.99 or more, you can get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. Some options for you. You can choose from the 3-carat diamond tennis bracelet. It's on sale for $9.99. That'll get you a pair of the free diamond stud earrings. You can also check out the engagement ring options. They have a 3 3/8-carat diamond center engagement ring featuring a 3-carat center diamond, an oval center diamond, for $29.99. That will also get you the Yeti cooler. You can also propose now and pay later with great financing options like taking up to 60 months to pay. Again, this is the last week. It will end on Saturday. It's your last chance to save up to 40% off diamond jewelry during the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 Engagements sale. You can see a store for complete details. And always remember, bigger, brighter diamonds at better prices are at Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. So we had a little bit of news today for Tiger basketball. Sorry, somehow I got a hair from the, there's a hair on the windscreen that somehow wound up. I felt like Larry David in, it was not a pew, but at least I hope. Larry David in Curb. Okay, so let's start with the positive news first. We learned today that Memphis basketball will take on Auburn in an October 30th exhibition game at State Farm Arena. Both schools announced today. The game is scheduled for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off. I don't know. Is that Eastern? I would think that's Eastern, so 6:30 Central. It will be preceded by an exhibition game between North Carolina and South Carolina, Carolina's women's basketball teams that starts with a 5 p.m. tip-off. According to Jason Munns, it will be the final tune-up for Penny Hardaway's Tigers before the 25-26 season gets underway. Tickets will go on sale at 9 a.m. on August the 8th if you want to go over to Atlanta and catch the Tigers and the Tigers. Memphis is also expected to entertain John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks in a charity exhibition game at FedEx Forum also in October as well. So that means now we now know the exhibitions will be Arkansas at the to-be-announced date, and we now know Auburn. And I honestly think this is a good thing for Penny Hardaway because I do really believe part of the reason why they were able to come out of the gates really hot and pick up so many of those non-conference wins is the fact that they were tested in both the Alabama exhibition game and the North Carolina exhibition game. And to me, these are two teams that will test you early, and you'll kind of know where you stand. So we now know the home schedule will be as follows. San Francisco on November 8th. UNLV and Josh Pastor's return November 16th. New Orleans at a TBA date. Southern Illinois on November 26th. Baylor on December 6th. And Vanderbilt on December 17th. The away games will be at Ole Miss, TBA. Louisville on December the 13th. Mississippi State on December the 20th. And they will go to Utah State in that announced game in the middle of conference play on February 14th. The neutral site games will include Purdue on November 20th at the Bahamar Hoops Challenge and either Texas Tech or Wake Forest the following day. And again, we now have those exhibition games as well. The other news of the day is that Sincere Parker was back in court and we have the update. According to Jason Munns, items to support Memphis basketball guard Sincere Parker's defense against allegations of aggravated assault made by his ex-girlfriend were turned over to prosecutors on July the 29th, this morning, following a scheduled set for report hearing. As a result, the hearing was reset for 9 a.m. on September the 4th. As you'll recall, Parker was arrested back on July 19th and charged with aggravated assault and vandalism, then released on July the 21st on $75,000 bond. He was briefly back in the courtroom today with his attorney, Arthur Art Horn. Approximately 15 minutes later, they convened briefly outside the courtroom, then Parker left. Horn told reporters afterwards that he submitted multiple items of, quote, reciprocal discovery, end quote, to the district attorney and the assistant district attorney. Among the items turned over were photographs of injuries Parker sustained during the incident, which allegedly took place at his downtown Memphis apartment on May the 27th, quote, things that were vandalized by the alleged victim, quote, and a picture of the scene. According to Horn, quote, we feel like she was the primary aggressor. If you took a look at the affidavit, she tries to paint him as some violent individual who goes through her phone, gets upset, and roughs her up. I think it was the opposite. I think she went through his phone. She got upset and started vandalizing his property, vandalizing his apartment, which we have proof of, and was injured when she fell. We feel like, one, he had the right to defend himself, and two, he had the right to remove somebody from his property who was destroying and vandalizing his property. We don't feel like she communicated her role in it to the police, and we weren't able to come in and give our side of the story, end quote. Parker's accuser first reported the incident to police on June the 12th. According to the affidavit, she met again with police on July the 15th. According to Horn, quote, there are some other things that happened between the incident itself and then her reporting this to police. You guys can kind of read between the lines. Threats were made. He declined to go into more specific detail. I think the threats would be made were she asked for money. Horn said the best case scenario is Parker's charges get dropped. Horn said that he does not expect a resolution prior to the next hearing on September the 4th, but they are hopeful for one prior to the start of the Tigers season. Once Parker bonded out of Shelby County Jail, he resumed off-season activities, workout activities with the Memphis basketball team. The school issued a statement on July the 19th saying it was aware of the situation and said, quote, it cannot comment on an active investigation. Horn said he expects Parker will remain on the roster, adding Parker will likely address the situation once it's resolved. Quote, he's dealing with it. It's embarrassing. A lot of shame. A lot of guilt. Not guilt from doing anything, but the same and guilt of national media coverage that this is getting. It's embarrassing. He's a 21-year-old. It's tough, but he understands the seriousness. So, it's now, I mean, to me, the one...
That is a whole lot from a preliminary hearing.
Correct. So, obviously, Arthur Horn is the defense attorney, and his job is to...
Defend Sincere Parker.
Defend Sincere Parker and create the story that makes Sincere look as good as possible. The one complication for me is this is not a civil suit in which accusations are just being made. The problem for me is that Sincere has been charged. Now, the way Arthur Horn points it out is that he believes that the evidence that he turned over to prosecutors today was not available. And
what did you do to that?
I think somebody
that pop filter.
I don't know. There's just hair everywhere.
I think the only people that use that mic usually are you and Gabe.
I have no idea on this one. And I got my hair cut, so not coming from me on this size. But
you
I apologize.
Ask Gabe when he last trimmed his beard.
I apologize for the audience for that. But to me, the complicating matter is that he's been charged. Now, Arthur Horner also points out he doesn't expect prior to September 4th that the charges will be dropped. I don't know. This is one.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.